Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of TGP Radio. As always, I'm your host, Vin, and let's get this show underway. Doing yet another one of our draft preview shows this week, combining the wide receiver and tight end classes for the upcoming draft. And, yeah, should be interesting. Should be entertaining, hopefully. Maybe. Possibly. Perhaps. Who knows? Got 4 weeks left until the draft. I guess we got actually three full weekends. Kind of curious to see how I'm going to fit everything in terms of content and whatnot, in terms of positions. Next week we'll probably be starting defense, I would think, and go from there. Maybe do like D-line. Let's see here, D-line, maybe do D-line linebackers next week, corners and safeties the week after, and at least I think offensive line. See, I should show prep off the air, but it's much more fun and entertaining to for me to do it on air, because again, I would like to before the draft. That's usually fun. Mock drafts are always fun. Compiling them, putting them together, what you think is going to happen. It's always entertaining because the draft is entertaining. So why not? Why would fake drafts not be fun? So yeah, there's that to look forward to. And then the draft will be here, and the off season will be here, and yeah, all sorts of fun show content and whatnot. Figure probably off season rolls around, and show will probably only be done every couple weeks maybe, and yeah, depending on what we all got going on, who knows? I'm sure the off season will be full randomness like it usually is, so there's that to look forward to. So, trying to think of tidbits and news, call in that's kind of happened this week. I guess one thing of note is looks like Colin Kaepernick to the Broncos might be a done deal at this point. All I got to do is work out the financial details. And honestly, I'm not entirely certain how I feel about that. Obviously, if you're a Bronco fan, then you've probably got to be happy about that, maybe, because you realize that you're looking at Mark Sanchez starting. But I don't know how that makes me feel about the Broncos. Obviously, last season I liked them. You got Peyton as quarterback. That's fun. Awesome. Goes out of the Super Bowl. And now you've brought in Colin Kaepernick. And I, as an outsider, not certain how I feel about that. Not certain if I can continue rooting for the Broncos to do well. I generally like them, but maybe not anymore. So there's that fun. Fun stuff to look forward to. Browns sign RG3, which is hilarious to me because they have no really intentions of kind of starting him. Kind of view him as a backup, which maybe that's what he is at this point, but probably full intentions of drafting a guy. And, yeah, makes the signing move from interesting to not. And really it's the Browns. And what quarterback is going to do well with the Browns? Unfortunately, maybe whatever the rookie that they draft will do all right and turn things around, which is something they haven't had since what, like Derek Anderson? Yeah, fun times. All right, A couple people here have called in. I'm going to put them on, and we shall let the fun begin. First caller is this area code I don't recognize, so it could be anybody. Could be anyone. And when everything loads, if it loads, might not load. There we go. Hello, sir.
Hello?
How's it going?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What's up? Hey, this is Paul Waffles.
I figured. I looked up the area code, saw it was Houston, and I'm like, okay, it's got to be Fart.
Yeah. No, hey, I actually kind of wanted to comment on the Kaepernick to the Denver Broncos. You kind of seem pessimistic on it. I actually seem a little positive on it, honestly, because just me being a Houston Texans fan, knowing the Gary Kubiak offense, I really think Colin Kaepernick is actually a very, very good fit for Gary Kubiak's boot action offense. As long as they get some good underneath guys, which they kind of got rid of Owen Daniels, which is counterproductive in my opinion. He was a very good tight end for that offense. But as long as they get some good underneath guys, obviously Colin Kaepernick has the athleticism to run that boot action offense. So, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I feel like it would be a very good get for the Denver Broncos. I mean, especially over Sanchez, who, to me, while he's a good quarterback, I'd say he's more of a backup caliber, like a guy that you would really like to be your backup. But in my opinion, hey, you know what? If Kaepernick's going to have a rebirth, it's going to be under Gary Kubiak, honestly. If he can't strive in that offense, he's not going to strive in the NFL at all, in my opinion. So,
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my thing is more is I don't know what my opinion of Kaepernick is. I mean, good player. He definitely an upgrade over Sanchez, but just in terms of likability, and what he brings to that Broncos team. It's more of a personal thing. Not so much as him as a player. It's just I'm not certain, you know. It's just me.
No. Like, honestly, like, skepticism is still not, like, a bad approach to take with Colin Kaepernick, because his whole career has been the epitome of inconsistency. But what I'm trying to say is just that, like, Kaepernick under Kubiak, if he can't strive under Kubiak, he's not going to strive under anybody. So.
Yeah. And obviously, getting out of San Francisco is really his best case. I don't think San Francisco is terrible, but I think just that ship is pretty much sailed. So, I mean, as far as Cap goes.
Yeah. And then as far as, like, RG3 goes, who knows? It's the Cleveland Browns. But I mean, I guess I don't know if there's, like, a worse place. If he's looking for playing time, Cleveland's probably the place to go. But and I mean, I really do like Hugh Jackson. I really do. I'm really rooting for the guy. But I just, you got to take a quarterback at two, right? Right.
Oh, yeah.
Like Carson Wentz or Jared Goff, whoever it is. If I'm Hugh Jackson personally, I'm not going to, go down with the Titanic on the RG3 ship. I'm not tying my chain to RG3 by any means.
Yeah, that's something. Yeah, like you said, it's not really the best spot for RG3, because, I mean, they just lost Travis Benjamin to the Chargers. If anything, you might get Josh Brown back, but Josh Gordon. But that's only one guy. kind of need more than one guy there. So,
definitely. I mean, I know this podcast, I guess, is supposed to be about the wide receiver group, and talking about the Cleveland Browns, they might have the worst wide receiver core in the NFL now that Travis Benjamin and everybody's left. And there's no talk about Josh Gordon. So if we're talking about wide receivers and tight ends, the Cleveland Browns are the epitome of who needs to be listening to this podcast right now.
Yep. Yep. All right. Let's see here. Cherry's called in and he's yelling at me, so I better put him on.
Cherry!
All right.
Put me on. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Now you're
like, there's a couple, there's a few people I'm like, yeah, you're just going to sit there and jerk off with the part. I just want to say that about the Browns. Yeah, you guys, that is, of course, what you guys are doing. But I want to say about the Browns, though, they're not that, like, bad talent-wise at the receiving group. I mean, obviously, Edwards, one of the best. Brian Hartline is a possible number two wide receiver, as much people don't see him that way. And Gary Barnage was an absolute beast last year.
No.
So.
Brian Hartline was a good number two receiver maybe like 4 years ago, and that's about it. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm not buying that. The Cleveland Browns have a terrible wide receiver core right now. When Travis Benjamin is your best wide receiver who's nothing but a one-trick pony deep threat, that's a problem. And Josh Gordon, there's no telling. Obviously, Josh Gordon is a good receiver. But who's to say this guy isn't going to smoke the tree some more and get fucked up? We don't know.
This is under the assumption that Josh Gordon is not going to smoke the good ganja. He's going to stay on the clean path and be productive, of course. But Josh Gordon, I would say, is probably a top five wide receiver right now.
I won't argue with you on that. To me, when I watched Josh Gordon in that one good year he had, he reminded me of Andre Johnson a lot. Andre Johnson in his prime. But let's not kid ourselves. This guy is, you don't want to give this guy the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to give this guy the benefit of the doubt until he gives me a reason to. And so I'll be the skeptic.
Yeah, I will. Jerry did mention Gary Barnage, which that is actually solid receiving threat.
Yeah,
but
you know, yeah.
Barnage,
yeah.
You know, a tight end going on 30, he's done nothing in his career thus far. Obviously, last year was a great year for him. Who knows, though, if that continues. And given the fact that it's Cleveland, well, yeah.
But also, if you're a defensive coordinator and you're going up against the Cleveland Browns and Gary Barnage is the only person that you're worried about, I don't think you're going to be sweating bullets the night before the game. You're just like, you put the focus on him, jam him at the line of scrimmage, have a good cover linebacker, and you're okay. Like, put pressure on the quarterback, like whoever it is. Like, seriously, I mean, yes, Gary, I will admit, Gary Barnage had a very good year last year. But if he is the only guy you have to worry about, I'm not losing sleep if I'm a defensive coordinator going up against the Cleveland Browns.
See, now I'm not at the point where I'm trying to argue that the Browns are that talent. I'm trying to find teams that are worse than them. Let's bring up the Rams to start with. Kenny Britt, Tavon Austin, Brian Quick, and Marquez Bradley are your Bradley Marquez, I don't even know the fucking guy. But, yeah, the Rams are probably worse. And maybe the Ravens with Steve Smith out.
They just got Mike Wallace, though.
No, that's true. They just got Mike Wallace. But so you have, like, Kamar Aiken, Marlon Brown, Michael Campanaro. They're pretty underachieving.
What's the UCF wide receiver that they drafted in the first round? I don't remember his name.
Rashad Perriman.
Perriman, yeah. I mean, who knows? Yep, he might have a breakout second year now that he's supposedly healthy. We don't know, but at least there's, like, sort of hope with the Ravens. There's no hope with the Browns.
Yeah, right now, as Trey mentioned, the starting wide receivers are Brian Hartline and Andrew Hawkins, a guy who Jerry should know pretty well.
Yeah, I actually like Hawkins as, like, a slot receiver dude, but he's no world beater by any means.
I mean, when he was on, he was on. That guy's insane out of the
slot. Yeah.
Enough about the Browns. Make everybody happy. Enough about the Browns.
This isn't a Browns podcast?
Yeah, that's just what it morphed into, and nobody wants that. Even Browns fans don't want that. So we'll move on to that. Wide receivers, tight ends. Seems like a pretty weak tight end class this this draft. But how are we feeling about the wide receivers? Seemed like a pretty solid class, or how do we feel about it?
It's kind of hard to say when the top wide receiver that's like, I mean, I guess like the general consensus top wide receiver in Laquon Treadwell runs a 4.63. You're not exactly jumping for joy with this class, but I feel like there are certain wide receivers in this class that have certain aspects to their game that can actually like really benefit teams. I'm a big fan. I really like Treadwell, by the way, regardless of that, the 40 time. He reminds me a lot of DeAndre Hopkins. So basically you put the ball in his direction, he's going to come get it down. The 50-50 ball is more a 75-25 ball. So I really like Treadwell. While some people might be turned off by his 40 time. But other receivers, you know, it's kind of hit or miss. There's not like that one receiver that just – there's not the Julio Jones. There's not an A.J. Green in this draft class. But there are a lot of wide receivers with good skill sets that I think can provide a lot to certain teams what you're looking for. One guy that I'm very high on, I drafted Treadwell too in our mock draft, but Sterling Shepard, I feel like he's going to be a slot dynamo for sure. I think he's the best route runner in this draft class, and he has some pretty good hands too. So I mean, it really depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for a true number one wide receiver, this is probably not the draft class you're looking for. But if you're looking for that number two, or like a good slot guy, or some guys with some really good hands, that you can find some playmakers in this draft class.
I mean, I would agree with that. There's not any true number one guy that stands out. Treadwell's probably the closest you're going to have to the number one guy who a team's going to draft wanting him to be their main wide receiver. But outside of that, there's just really, it's not a bad draft class. It's just simply a class that it doesn't have the world beaters like Julio Jones and A.J. Green or people like that. There's still very good depth, in my opinion, on the draft class. There's still a fair amount of players. Like, you have Corey Coleman, as much as I don't like the fact he refuses to run routes and he just takes his off.
Don't even get me started on Coleman.
I mean, even outside of Laquon Treadwell, there's a lot of very talented receivers.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, one guy that I think like actually could be a sleeper is Braylon Addison out of Oregon. He's a guy that, you know, he's not going to be your number one, but he could be like a potential like third guy, but also a return specialist. And that's what I'm trying to say about this draft class is if you can get that like number three guy and get a good return specialist, punt returner, kick returner, whatever, like that's actually not necessarily a bad thing in this class. But there a lot of the receivers in this draft class, I feel like while they may have some good qualities, they have some warts along with them. It's just like I really feel like who drafts which receiver could have a big impact on how they do in the league. Josh Doctson from TCU, I'm a big fan of him. I actually have a first round grade on the guy, but he has his warts too. You know, he's not necessarily the best route runner. He's got some decent speed. He's a pretty good jump ball guy. But, you know, and Coleman runs maybe two routes, but he has DeSean Jackson speed. So it really is more like a pick your poison when it comes to this wide receiver class, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's interesting. Coleman was actually somebody I was going to bring up to get you all's opinions on that, but you all pretty much covered that. It seems like in every show we've done so far, there's always kind of a gimmick player or something. Like last week we had I've forgotten his name already. The running back out of Georgia who ran a 4.3 in the 40. This week we've got Braxton Miller, who obviously former quarterback out of Ohio State, is transitioning to wide receiver. What do you guys feel are his prospects at the next level. Do you guys think that he can actually turn into something? Or is, you know, what do we got here?
I mean, do you want to go first, Terry? I'll let you go first this time.
Yeah, sure, I'll go first. Braxton Miller, I mean, he does have the athletic potential to transition to wide receiver. I don't know if I would like to put him there. I could see him taking kind of a Denard Robinson kind of role where he's a flex kind of guy. You just move him around and do what best benefits your offense. But I don't think he's nearly developed enough at the position to go in and be a starter wide receiver. If you just let him build over the next 3 years at the position, maybe he'll be a very solid, I wouldn't say number one guy, but maybe a number two or something like that. But right now, you'd probably just want to use him as a running back if nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, when I think you really hit the nail on the head right there with when you said Denard Robinson. I feel like that's like a very good comparison, you know, a quarterback trying to transition to a wide receiver or running back, an offensive weapon, basically. And that's what Braxton is doing. But I do feel like Braxton is a better athlete than Denard Robinson is. I could see, like, using him in, like, some packages as a running back, running in between the tackles. He kind of did that a little bit through at Ohio State in his last year there. But honestly, I kind of see him as, like, a really athletic slot receiver. I don't see him as an outside guy at all, personally speaking. I mean, I could be wrong, but maybe, like, using that kind of Randall Cobb role. I'm not saying he's as good of a receiver as Randall Cobb. I was very high on Cobb in the draft, and I'm not as high on Braxton Miller. But like, I guess his potential could be Randall Cobb. But it's just really hard. It's hard to judge a guy that played quarterback until this last year here when he realized, hey, my prospects aren't good enough to be a quarterback at the next level. And I applaud him for that. But it's just he's a very hard prospect to judge. But I do think if you do draft Braxton Miller, you're going to get a good football player. He's a football player to me. It's just how you're going to use him. That's when you're going to really find what success he may have at the next level.
I mean, that's the issue with it. There's not enough film out on him to really say he's going to fit as an outside guy, he's going to fit as an inside guy, he's going to be able to play running back, he's going to be able to do these different things. We just honestly don't know because we haven't seen it enough. So if a team's going to get him, they have to have a plan. They have to have a plan of what they're going to do with him, how they're going to work him into the offense. Like, I think the Chiefs can probably do it. The Chiefs, like, run a lot of that short stuff, a lot of the screen stuff like that. And they did it well with DeAnthony Thomas. So I think they could try to put him into that kind of role and use Braxton Miller like that if they were to take him. But it's just a matter of having a plan for what you're going to do with the guy with him. Are you going to use him as a receiver? Are you going to use him as a running back? What are you going to do with him?
Yeah, I think the Chiefs would actually be a very good landing spot for him. I think Andy Reid would be one guy that could get the most out of somebody like Braxton. But, like, it's hard to say. If you're the scary thing is like, somebody might invest a first or second round. I think he's a second-round pick at this. I don't think he's going in the first round. But somebody might invest a second-round pick on Braxton Miller, and that's a huge commitment to me for somebody that particularly doesn't really have a true NFL position at this point, at this very moment. So that's kind of scary. To me, if you're taking him in, like, the third round, okay, you know, there might be a little breathe room there. But a second-round pick is very – that's like a commitment right there that I don't know if a lot of teams can actually make that commitment and feel safe about it, in my opinion.
I mean, I think it's not so much as the Braxton Miller doesn't have the potential to be a second-rounder. I think it's just the talent and depth of the class is going to push him down a lot. I mean, I think all around the class is pretty well balanced, but I think wide receiver, a guy like Treadwell is going to go first round, of course. Corey Coleman probably is going to go first round. Fuller, Doxson, just a lot of very good talented players that you would want to take at wide receiver over Braxton Miller. If you're on the clock and you're looking between Michael Thomas and Braxton Miller or something like that, you're obviously not going to take Braxton Miller unless you have an insane hard-on for the guy.
Yeah, I mean, unless you have, like, the luxury pick, which that's honestly how I see Braxton. I think he's the luxury pick for a team, like the New England Patriots or, I mean, like the Kansas City Chiefs, we've already mentioned would be kind of a good fit there. But to me, Braxton is more luxury than he is a guy that I'm like, hey, let me invest a high pick and I'm going to really hope he can turn this offense around. He's a luxury pick in my opinion.
I think that's the best way to characterize him is a luxury pick. You're not going to have a team that's desperate that needs a wide receiver to go up for Braxton Miller. You're not going to have a team like the Ravens trying to get him in the second or first round. You're going to have a team that is able to afford taking a gadget player and taking a guy who doesn't have a true and trying to build off his hit, off of his athleticism and trying to work him into what they do.
Yep, 100% agreed, man.
All right, see Farbs here in chat. He disapproves of your Randall Cobb comparison. Not entirely sure why.
He disapproves of it?
Yeah, not a fan apparently.
Well, okay, let me clarify a little bit. I'm not, like I said, I was very high on Randall Cobb in the draft process when he was coming out. I'm not saying Braxton is Randall Cobb, but I'm saying his ceiling is Randall Cobb. So let JD take that however he wants to take it, but, you know, whatever.
I just noticed it in chat, and, he wasn't a fan of it, so.
Oh, I'm sure he wasn't. I'm not surprised.
All right, got that clarification out of the way.
Tell him to call in. Tell JD to call in. Come on, man.
Yeah, he's got 90 seconds. He won't. Well, if he was going to call in, he would have earlier.
Yeah. Okay.
Tick. I guess we'll go this route. I know you guys kind of mentioned this draft class, but I don't want to go super vague on this, but I guess I'm going to go super vague on this. Which kind of highly thought of prospect has the biggest bust potential out there? Is it a guy like Treadwell? Is it a guy like Will Fuller, who's had a bunch of drop problems in college, or is it kind of another guy out there that has been mentioned that's generally highly thought of, but just kind of screams bust to you?
Are we talking Trevor wide receivers or?
Yeah, wide receivers.
Trevor wide receivers. Okay. Go ahead, Farb.
You want me to go first? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's no secret. I am not a fan of Corey Coleman. I am just absolutely not. I've been spurned on the fast wide receiver that runs two routes way too many times, and he has God-given gifts that wide receivers would dream of. He really does. His speed, like I said, he has DeSean Jackson speed, but I really do not. Can you tell me a good Baylor wide receiver? Other than Josh Gordon hitting the tree, can you tell me? Do you really think he's that good, though? Do you think he was worth the first round pick that he was?
Probably not, but he's still
okay. He's a solid wide receiver. He was not worth that first round pick. And Corey Coleman is right now considered a late first round pick, and I could not disagree with that anymore. I would take him as a late second round at the earliest. Because the guy runs two routes. He runs goes, he runs posts, and he'll take a wide receiver screen. And while he does have DeSean Jackson speed, I'm sick and tired of the receiver that can run 4.3 40, but can only run two routes, and he has no timing. His hands are actually good. I will give him that. Corey Coleman does have some pretty decent hands. And when you talk about Fuller would probably be the other guy. He's just had a lot of drops to where people might be a little skeptical. But I honestly feel more comfortable drafting Fuller than I ever would with Coleman, because Fuller runs the wide receiver tree. And while he is prone to the Ted Ginn, like, brick hands, I'd rather take the guy that knows how to run the routes, than a guy that's just, like, completely raw and just all he knows is speed, speed, speed. He doesn't know timing routes. He doesn't know anything like that that you see up in next level. That takes a lot of time to learn. And I'd rather have a guy that might have a little bit of a case of the dropsies over the guy that has no clue what NFL timing is in routes.
I mean, I would agree with both of those. I think Coleman and Fuller are probably the two biggest concerns out of the core group of wide receivers that are in the top first to first round to second round conversation. Coleman, as you mentioned, he just takes plays off. He doesn't really care unless he's running just sprinting down the field as fast as he can, trying to go get it. He just doesn't care. I've noticed with him, he refuses to block. He'll let a defender come right by him to hit the ball carriers because he doesn't want to pick up a block. So I think just watching him, he's not the kind of guy that you would want to have out there. You want a guy who's willing to get dirty and actually play the game instead of a guy who wants to just catch it and run as quick as he can down the field. And I think Coleman, he's not worth it even with that because he doesn't have a number one frame. He's a number two receiver. He's not going to go up and get it like a guy who's like 6'2 or 6'3, like a Treadwell type. I mean, he's just not worth that high of an investment, especially since he's not a I wouldn't say team player. I don't know the guy well enough to say that, but from what I saw, it just didn't look like he put enough effort in. Fuller, he does have the drops, and it does make you worry a little bit, but as you said, he's a lot better at running a full route tree, a lot more polished coming out of college than Corey Coleman is. So I think both those guys have serious questions to him, and you have to really consider, what do I want to take a guy with who's not pro-ready, but I think Fuller's a lot more pro-ready than Coleman.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that 100%. And I would even say that I would take Josh Doctson over both Fuller and Coleman any day right now. Like, at this point in their careers, I could be wrong, you know, 5 years from now, but at this point, I would feel way more comfortable taking Josh Doctson over Fuller or Coleman.
I mean, it depends on what
you
I mean, go ahead. Doctson is a lot more of a physical player. He's a lot more able to match up with NFL defensive backs. So I think Coleman is going to be in for a rude awakening, and Fuller, I think he's going to handle it a little bit better, but I think there's also a huge potential for him to get busted around.
Yeah, all right, so now we got the tape. 5 years from now, we can revisit this and find out if Favre part's wrong.
We can find out how badly I just totally screwed up, but, you know.
Yep.
I'm never perfect, but I like my track record, at least for the most part.
Yep. All right, let's see here. Now that he can't call in because the show's cut off for him, Favre says in chat that Sterling Shepard is a much better top comparison than Braxton effing Miller. So.
Oh, I won't even argue with him on that point. I really think Sterling Shepard is the best. He's the best slot receiver in this class and the best route runner, in my opinion. I can see that comparison, but I'm not going to argue with JD. I'm done with that.
All right. We're gonna switch gears here and move over to the tight end class. On a scale from one to terrible, how bad is the tight end class?
Terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I'm just looking at these names. I'm just like, I don't know any of these people.
I mean,
watching it, one or two guys. It's just all these. There's no first round tight end really. I mean,
no.
Henry and I have an argument that they're probably going to drop down to the third round.
Yeah, I think the only good thing I can say about this tight end class is there's a lot of big guys, like that 6'4 and up guys. There's some really big guys. I feel like that's what the NFL is kind of going to, is you're going for the big guy that can be a mismatch on a coverage linebacker. So you've got a lot of those, but you just don't have any tight ends in this class that just really stick out as a guy that you would make your number one tight end. I mean, they could eventually be that, but there's nobody that you're just like, that's the guy there's just you're taking a lot of big 6'4 guys, 6'4 and up, but there's just nobody that really sticks out. Not even Hunter Henry, who everybody says is the consensus best tight end in his class. I'm not even 100% sold on that guy either.
Yeah, it sounds I'm just going to go ahead and go on record and say that Hunter Henry will bust. Just for there's something going on. I think it might be like the alliteration in the name. Maybe it's his name Hunter. I'm not certain, but that's just it sounds like a bust name.
That about sums up the tight end class. You don't know. You're just like, yeah, that guy's not gonna be good. That guy's not gonna be good. I don't even know that.
Yeah,
guy,
I can just tell from his name that that's not gonna be any good at all. In general, I guess maybe not so much this class, but in general, how hard is it to evaluate some of these college tight ends when you know college is more about you know getting wide receivers involved, getting your running backs involved, and the tight ends end up being you know, sometimes third or fourth down the list in terms of targets. In terms of that, how hard is it to kind of figure out exactly what some of these guys are and what they can contribute?
It's very hard. I think tight ends actually, outside of like taking in their receiver ability, it's a tough college position to evaluate because they don't do a lot of blocking. You see a lot of spread offenses, obviously, at the college level. So these guys, they're almost like pseudo big-time slot receivers, and they're just used to beating their men because they're just bigger. They're not necessarily learning a route tree. They're not necessarily learning to be a good blocker. The guys that are good receivers, they usually don't block. The guys that are good blockers, they're essentially like an extra lineman, and they're not good receivers.
Yep.
So it's very hard to evaluate how a tight end's going to do at the next level. And you see it because there's not very many rookie tight ends that make a big impact their rookie year at the NFL. It's usually like 2 or 3 years down the road they finally, like, the light bulb clicks for them.
I mean, I think part of it is that everyone wants the next Gronk. Everyone wants their tight end to be a superstar who can do everything. There's not that many out there. I mean, it's
you're not going to find Travis Kelce and Rob Gronkowski in this draft class. It's just not happening. It's not.
I mean, over the past year, there's very few tight ends that have come out and actually been dominant, like Eifert, Kelce. Outside of that, there just hasn't been that many tight ends that have come out and just been a beast from day one. They can do both blocking and receiving. So if you want your guy, I mean, if you want your guy to be a glorified receiver, then okay. But if you want your guy to be a blocker, you got to find, you know, you got to figure out what you want to run, what you want to do with your offense before you can say, oh, I'm going to take that guy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Fair enough. All right, so this tight end class is terrible. All right, we got a few minutes left. I'm gonna open it up to whatever you guys want to talk about. If there's something that we haven't covered that you want covered, cover it, or just bring up whatever.
I'll talk about Michael Thomas real quick. What's your opinion on Michael Thomas for?
Are you talking to me? My opinion on Michael Thomas?
Yeah.
Or are you talking on?
Yeah.
I mean,
Terry knows better than ask me opinion.
I actually do think Michael Thomas could be that fringe first round pick. I'll tell you right now, I feel like I'm beating, you know, a dead horse right now. I'll take him over Fuller. I'll take him over Coleman. I really will. I think he's better than those two receivers. But sadly, I really think in reality, I think NFL franchises are going to take a gamble on a Fuller or a Corey Coleman, and I think they're going to be mistaken. I think Thomas will be the better wide receiver in the long run.
I think Thomas is, I mean, he's just a lot more physical. He's a lot more fit for modern modern NFL game. I think Coleman will get bulked around by a cut. If you put him up against a Richard Sherman or something like that, he's going to get torn up. There's
no way
he's done that. But
if anybody lines Coleman against Richard Sherman, they're fucking retards to begin with. But, yeah, I agree with you 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, Thomas, I watched him, and it killed my thoughts on Kendall Fuller. It made me think he was, like, a fifth rounder or something like that because he just completely dominated him. He just threw him around like he was a ragdoll.
Definitely. He's just not a guy that's getting a lot of publicity, and it's a shame. But I think he's going to – I want to have faith in NFL GMs and say that they're going to draft him appropriately. It's hard to say. I mean, like, following pseudo-draft gurus on the internet, you don't know. But, I mean, I think when you put on his game tape, you see a legit wide receiver. You see a guy that can come in, at the very least, be a very solid number two receiver with the opportunity to grow into a number one. And I just can't say the same with Coleman or Fuller. I really can't. So.
Yeah, I don't think either of those guys will ever be a true number one. They're just not fit. They don't fit the mold.
I agree.
Good stuff. And, yeah, I think that'll be it. So, gentlemen, thank you for calling in. And, like I mentioned at the top of the show, I think next week we'll probably be doing D-line maybe. Maybe D-line linebacker, something. But
sounds good. Thanks for having us, man. All right, bye.
All right, have a good one. Once again, thank you, gentlemen, for calling in. And until next week.